Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert, and thank you for joining me today. So you are in for a treat. I am going to be interviewing Sister Bethany Madonna, and we are going to be talking about everything that the Sisters of Life are doing. And they have a new podcast coming out August 24th. They have a new YouTube channel that has amazing, beautiful videos, and especially Sisters Vocation Story. I was just crying like a baby listening to it in my car this morning. So if you have a chance to just maybe even play it in your car, it is beautiful. And we're also just talking about just brokenness and wounds, but also God's mercy and healing that He wants to give everybody, no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, that waits for you. So without further ado, let's get into it with Sister Bethany Madonna. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert, and I am so excited for my guest today, and that is Sister Bethany Madonna from the Sisters of Life. Welcome, sister.
Thank you, Crystalina.
I'm so excited. I have been eagerly waiting for this interview, and I've heard you several times speak at different events and Steubenville conferences that they put on around the country. I heard you spoke at SEEK a couple times. And I have to say, sister, you are an amazing storyteller. Like, I get so into your stories. You are excellent at that. And if you haven't heard sister speak, you can go to their new YouTube channel and you can watch all of sister's talks on there. And I would highly recommend that, even just driving in your car listening. And the way she tells her stories, and you just enter in, and it is magnificent. So she leaves this a lot of room for your imagination, and it's beautiful, but really the heart of the matters that you get into. So sister, tell me, what do the Sisters of Life do, and what is your mission?
Yeah, thank you. Well, our primary mission is prayer and intercessory prayer. We're actually a contemplative active religious community, so it's like a blending of contemplative life and silence and prayer and interceding. And then also the active missions, which we have a variety of. So we spend about 4 hours a day in prayer between Mass and the Liturgy of the Hours and the Rosary and Holy Hour, Adoration. And then in our missions, we have the privilege of walking with women who find themselves pregnant and in crisis and feeling the need to reach out for support, especially if they're vulnerable or tempted to abortion. We have a convent where pregnant women come and live with us through their pregnancy, and then for about 6 to 8 months after the baby's born, and it's a beautiful experience of family life and friendship and nurturing relationship and, allowing them to experience their own maternity blossom. We have a retreat mission for those who need to get in out of the rain and have an encounter with the Lord or a renewal of faith or, an experience of silence and prayer and talks and just to be upheld and be with others who are faith-filled. We also have a hope and healing mission for those suffering after abortion. So often the experience of abortion is totally driven by fear. And what happens afterwards, the enemy just completely kind of steps in with a real, bludgeoning of shame. And so those whom we walk with who have experienced this suffering often have not been able to speak it out or find someone to receive them. And it's almost like Jesus has allowed us to be his arms of mercy to welcome them home and to allow them to return to confession and the sacraments, to find community with each other, with the sisters, as to other hearts of women who have experienced the same suffering and know Jesus's freedom and mercy and how he's pursued them. So it's like watching the resurrection. That mission is very powerful and beautiful. And then our sisters in Denver serve on college campuses with Focus. So they are on 6 different college campuses, and they do something called spiritual accompaniment, where they walk with women in college and talk to them and spiritually mother them in many ways and guide them and just growing in their feminine identity and experiencing the desires of their heart and directing them to the Lord in prayer.
Wow. It seems like this refuge, right? In the midst of this chaos and this war and this world that is just such a culture of death. And I imagine these women that come to you pregnant and scared and the devil on both sides of them just beating them down with the fear, first of all, and then the shame, right? It's a twofold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, they're buried in it and they just want to get rid of it and just be done with it. And they want to just get that abortion to just get it off of them almost, right? And get it away from them.
It's such a lie. That's exactly what's being said. Like you can bring back yesterday. You can undo this. This can just be all over in an instant. When meanwhile, that's the temptation of the enemy because it opens up a whole new world of pain.
And I was reading your mission statement and it's beautiful. And I took a small part of it and I'm going to just read this for the listeners because wow. Okay. They say on their website, "We believe every person is valuable and sacred. We believe that every person is good, loved, unique, and unrepeatable. We believe that every person's life has a deep meaning, purpose, and worth. And in fact, we give our lives for that truth." I have chills just saying that, sister, because that's not just for the women who are wanting to walk into that abortion clinic. When I even read that, I feel valued and I feel worth and I feel loved just by that alone. So the power and the light that your vocations and the nuns bring into the world up against the darkness, I see you sisters really in the front lines. Like you are literally in the front lines against the culture of death.
It's an incredible thing because it's like to tell someone that they're loved and that God made them. And that he had a plan when he made them and that they weren't abandoned. They're not lost or left to their own devices or they have to figure out their own identity. They have to, put themselves together, create themselves. There's almost the culture does put that burden onto individuals and it touches every element of life, you know, sexuality and family and, career and how I, what I find important and how I earn my worth and all of these things when at the end of like the reality is you are worthy of love and you are seen and you are known deeply from within. God knows you, loved you. When he made you in his image and likeness, that was unique. you reflect something that only was entrusted to you. And so you communicate something of God that is yours alone. And part of that, discovering that and living from that place of having been chosen, allows someone to really fly, you know, and find themselves free in that love and in that being received by a good father.
Wow. Sister, tears, I'm welling up with tears in my eyes here. It's unbelievable because the devil just wants to clip everyone's wings almost. He wants to keep them down and grounded and just you are not enough. You are not seen. Nobody wants you. You're unworthy and pretty much filthy and broken. And who wants something broken, right? Mm-hmm. But then all the while on the other side, he's like, well, it's not that bad. He's luring you into the sin. It's not that bad. You know, it's okay. And it's this slow tiptoe steps into that sin and then into the despair and then into nobody wants me and how deep the darkness goes. Mm-hmm. So for those women right now, this really hits home. And I think it does for a lot of people. I know it has in my past and it does for me in certain ways in my own life right now. My goodness, we're all challenged every day. What would you say to those women and how can they pick themselves up? How can they get out of that darkness that they're feeling?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the first things to do is begin a prayer life. And that can be very daunting and people can have kind of an image of what that entails. And it seems so far from what is possible when starting off. Mm-hmm. But if you can start with time set aside daily, for quiet, you know, and it's almost like giving yourself permission to do it, that I'm actually going to meet someone a real person.
Who like setting is, a schedule almost with Jesus, yes. right?
It's yeah,
really it's putting Jesus like, in your schedule.
Exactly. Well, I can say, you know, I'm going to pray today at 3 o'clock and then someone's like, hey, what are you doing at 3? I really need you too. And it's like, oh, I'm available. I'll pray later.
Yes.
Well, meanwhile, Jesus is like, oh, but I was, oh, like
oh,
we were just about to, you know, like it's a real relationship. I think that's first, but I think even deeper than that, having time to actually be present and aware of God who is speaking to me, communicating himself to me, giving himself to me, loving me, choosing me, holding me in existence, like especially for those who have received the gift of baptism, the fact that God is within us, if I really believe what I know to be true, my life would be different. Like, so if God is dwelling within me at any moment, I can go within my inner room, like Jesus said, and close the door and be alone with God who's in secret with me, you know, and he's always with me and loving me. Like he's always providing for me. The Holy Spirit wants to guide me. I don't have to, I'm not alone. I don't have to figure things out on my own without asking for help and having the courage to reach out to the Lord. And he guides us. I love how the Holy Spirit will like open up doors and close them. And we have experienced mm-hmm. it when I'm, you know, going in the wrong direction and a door closes. Sometimes it's very tempting to like put my shoulder into it, you know, no. or wait outside of it. And the Holy Spirit, when I'm asking, you know, like guide me, Lord, guide me. Where am I supposed to be? Like, it's amazing how sometimes friendships fall off and they weren't leading me to him or a relationship that I had peace in. Suddenly it's almost like the carpet gets pulled out from under it, you know, and there's mm-hmm. no peace there anymore. So I think, yeah, when we begin living with God, and listening for his voice and getting almost accustomed to it, like reading the gospels and seeing what he's actually like and not just having people dictate to me what he's like, how does Jesus respond when he sees weakness? How does he respond when someone's caught in sin? What does Jesus do? You know, he's gentle. He knows what we're actually seeking. He doesn't leave us there, and he doesn't say it's okay. Like, stay there. It's no, I forgive you, but sin no more. Like, I have something, I have so much more for you than that. That's such a settling. That's such a, you know, imitation. It's a counterfeit, you know? So I do feel just, as you said, for women out there, like, the beauty of being able to start and develop a prayer life, which really is very simple, of setting real time aside, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, where I can have quiet, I can have my phone off, I'm protected in some way from being interrupted, and I can just listen or cry or tell about my day, journal at length, read the scriptures, get to see and hear Jesus's very words and know they're directed to me, you know?
You said something I think is so key is it's not on the outside of us, but people have to go inside, right? Mm. For the answers. Everyone's looking on the outside, watching the news 24/7. And there's a lot of fear that's involved yeah. with that. And then they're locked in their home, some of them. And it's just like, wait, no, turn the world off. Go within where Jesus is, right?
Yeah.
And they don't realize that's where it's at. It's not on the outside. It's actually on the inside. And then something else you said really rang true. And I've really emphasized this with myself in my own life and my listeners is to listen to that voice of God. Listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and your conscience, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. I tell everybody, it's the compass to heaven, really. Just listen and you'll get there, you know? He's telling us where to go, which way to go. And we're under kind of his protection. And deep down, I feel like we do know what to do. Sometimes we don't want to do it, but we always have mm-hmm. the answer because God won't just leave us alone. And even though you may feel alone and broken and nobody wants you, even this show right now that you're listening to, God is pursuing you. He's calling you. He wants you. He's inviting you. And I don't think Jesus ever will stop doing that for everybody, right? No matter mm-hmm. what state in life they're in. If they've already had an abortion and they regret it and want healing, he's pursuing that. It doesn't cut you off. He wants to give them mercy. Can you talk a little bit about, sister, please, really the mercy that God has for people that maybe have had an abortion or maybe have been even raped or sexually abused, or they just feel like things that have happened in their life is just unforgivable and they just, they can't get past it.
Yeah. I think anything, this is anything in the sexual realm strikes at a core, you know, so any struggles with addictions, pornography, masturbation, relationship issues, like anything that strikes at the core of my, my experience of love, my experience of my own body, my experience of my own goodness, my innocence, my purity. Like, I love the name of this show, Women Made New. And I love that Jesus would say, behold, I make all things new.
And right?
I think we when we give him permission, when we let love define us, when we let love call our name, when we let love into the places that, we, you know, are ashamed of, light and freedom and healing can come. So I know many churches are reopening the sacrament of confession. And so if there's sin involved, I think bringing that to confession, the enemy using the discernment of spirits, rule 13 is the enemy is a false lover. And he's like, don't tell anyone I was here. Like, don't tell anyone I'm pursuing
the
you.
The
like,
secrets, don't, right? In the
dark.
Yeah,
don't tell anyone about this because they'll judge you, quite frankly. And no one will look at you the same. And if anyone knew, my glory. Whenever I hear that voice, like if I'm preparing for confession, it's like, oh, you don't need to say that. That's not really. And it's a little embarrassing. And it's, you know, whatever. I'm like,
yes,
no.
He wants to hold you captive with that. Yeah, that's right. He wants to hold you captive.
Yes.
Yes.
So whenever that voice of accusation and suggestion, being able to like bring things to the light, like talk to a trusted friend, talk to a priest, a good Christian counselor to help untie some of the knots or give me some tools that maybe I'm like, I'm trapped, I'm stuck, I'm in this the cycle, you know? I think the other thing I would say to someone, especially if it in the realm of abuse or rape, because it was against your will, and that is so painful and so hurtful to have been taken advantage of in that way. I think just to be able to, in praying to the Holy Spirit, to receive like God's gaze of love over you, like how he looks at you and how he sees your innocence and how he wants to restore it and how he wants to restore your sense of it, you know, that he, wants to, just like with the experience of, you know, lepers, where a touch, you know, Lord, if you wish, you could make me clean. I love that prayer. Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean. And he's like, I do will it. You know, I do will it. I want that for you. I want that. And I want you to be able to be, to know that in your vulnerability and you're asking me like that, that just draws me to you. I want to pour into you. I want to bring healing, and newness, a new way of seeing yourself and experiencing yourself and seeing your own gifts and seeing that your love is necessary and no one can take your place. I think that's really critical. I kind of get hooked on this, but just that fingerprints are individual, that out of millions and billions of people ever, you know, walking this earth, no one's ever had a same set of fingerprints. And I always think like, if God's going to take so much time to arrange and design the invisible circle pattern on the end of my finger to be totally unique to me, like what about my heart? Like he took so much time arranging and designing and creating this gorgeous love that no one else has. No one. It's yours. You're the only one who can love with the love in your heart. You're the only one who can love your spouse, your children. You're the only one who can love your friends, your siblings, your parents with that love. You're the only one who can love God with it. And that's why he longs for it. It's not like someone else can like just replicate your love. It's yours. And he desires it so deeply and he wants you to know how special it is, that he delights in it, that he sees how beautiful you are. He made you and you belong to him.
Wow. It's beautiful, sister. Absolutely beautiful. And one barrier I had, and maybe some women have experienced this, especially if they have been sexually abused, right?
Yeah.
Is because I was sexually abused when I was a child, and I didn't know that until after I got married and I was in counseling. And my listeners, I've talked about this in the past, but one thing that was such a barrier for my relationship with God the Father and Jesus was that it was a man. Mm-hmm. And I was so hurt by men in my past. I didn't realize what a barrier and wall I had up that I couldn't let them in fully because of that deep-rooted fear and hurt I experienced.
Yeah.
But after my counseling sessions, I would always go to adoration. Right after, because you're so open and raw, and you just have to, I had to dump that all on Jesus. He was the only one that could take it, and he's the only one I would let into that. And I'd be in the back crying and journaling, and just sometimes I'd be angry or mad or crying, you know, just going through what I was going through. But also through that, he was safe in the Eucharist. I could totally come to him fully in the Eucharist because it disarmed seeing him as Jesus the man, right? But I saw him as the Eucharistic Jesus, and it was so healing for me that I was able to go to that safe place. So ladies, if that maybe is a barrier for you and that rings true in your heart, go to adoration, go to him in the Eucharist, and it's so powerful. And the devil cannot follow you into the light. And the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you go to him, the devil has got to go because he cannot stand it. He cannot stand that gaze. He can't be around it. So to maybe go to adoration to find healing and to start a relationship there with Jesus in the Eucharist versus Jesus the man and picturing him that way. It just really helped me in my faith walk.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And the silence, it's in the silence he can speak, you know?
That's
so
right.
Like when you go into adoration, I literally am putting myself in a place where I can feel what I'm feeling and I can speak what I need to say. And in his silence, he's communicating so much of his love. Like I never want you to be lonely. So I'm here. I wait in the tabernacle day and night.
We are here with Sister Bethany Madonna from the Sisters of Life. And we are talking about, well, all things right now, sister, life and love and healing and brokenness and woundedness and God's love and mercy. Now, can you tell me also the other outreaches that you have under the umbrella of Sisters of Life? Because there's a lot going on over there. It's really beautiful what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So, for those who find themselves pregnant and vulnerable, tempted to abortion, they find us through websites. They find us through, they go to the churches or social workers have our number. Sidewalk counselors who are praying outside of abortion clinics have us on speed dial. So they often will bring them over to us or call to just have a conversation from that place and invite them to be able to look at our other possibilities. Because at the depths of a woman's heart, no one wants an abortion. No one is freely choosing it. There's always a desire for an alternative or support or someone to give life. So we also have co-workers of life who are men and women who have basically come forward and said, we'll do anything for the women that use. So we have doctors who see them first, you know, and for free, lawyers who do pro bono work. We have men and women who have businesses and companies and they want to hire the women that we serve. Or they work for the airlines and they can donate Sky Miles and get her to a maternity home. People who are empty nesters and want to just welcome her in as their own, you know, and let her have a safe haven in their home. We have women who will throw them a gorgeous baby shower, you know, or young adults who will take them out to eat or invite them to their groups and just help them to feel received and have a place where they can be accompanied, you know, as they prepare. Our co-workers of life, provide everything for the women that we serve. And it's just the generosity is overwhelming. So especially when sometimes their families aren't able to be a support to them, it's almost like God raises up a mighty family, you know, not only provide tangibly, but emotionally and spiritually. So that's amazing. We outreach to just an evangelization through our imprint magazine and our YouTube channel. And our sisters have written some original music. So we're trying to be able to bring beauty and love and light and hope, especially in this time of pandemic, you know, where so many have felt isolated and really missing the sacraments, missing
Jesus.
Being able to come together, really.
Yeah. I miss Jesus. It was so strange not going to Mass or adoration or, you know, it was I'm watching TV, watching watching Mass in my living room. And I'm just, this is just so against my spirit in every way, but at least we get to see Jesus on the TV. I mean, my goodness, even saying that sounds strange to me. But it's just, wow, if Jesus is that big role, plays this huge role in your life, you really miss the absence of having him there day in, day out, right?
Yes, which is like a beautiful sign of the intimacy that you've experienced there, so that you would miss his very presence, you know? It's just such a... this is bizarre and painful. So it's like, how do we respond to that? You know, how do we unite with each other at a time when there's so much separation and isolation, and how do we, bring encouragement and truth, truth into this culture. So, those are some of the ways. As far as our Hope and Healing After Abortion mission, we even started Endow studies for women so that they can, after experiencing healing and growing and developing a relationship with the Lord, a deeper relationship, to be able to be with other women and talk about the feminine genius and the feminine heart. So to have studies where you can have the space to learn and grow and share, and that's also a great gift.
Wow, sister, it's absolutely beautiful. And if you aren't familiar with their imprint magazine, you can actually download it off of their website, sistersoflife.org. And this summer's issue was What Anchors You? And it was just beautiful. So I would highly recommend that. And you can get that today, right now on your computer.
Yes.
It's just really uplifting and just such words of wisdom. We are going to take a quick break with our friends at EWTN, and we will be right back with Sister Bethany Madonna. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett, and we are here with Sister Bethany Madonna from the Sisters of Life. And we are talking about brokenness and women that have had abortions in the past, and really just about God's mercy and love, and that no one is exempt from that, but that He is constantly pursuing us no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, that God's mercy is waiting for you. And He is inviting you into that and wanting you in that. And sister, your testimony is beautiful. And can you just share with the audience, how did you even discern your vocation? How did you even know you were supposed to be a sister?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a Catholic family. My father's a convert, but I didn't grow up thinking about being a religious, or quite frankly, seeing a lot of religious. So that was a sort of a foreign concept to me, but I did, whenever I saw a big family, something resonated in me. So I'm one of three, but when I saw a large family, I always thought, there it is, living the dream, you know? Mm-hmm. So I always intended to be married and have children, and that's what I wanted. But there was a point in high school where I kind of lost all my friends all at once, and it had to do with partying, and I didn't want to be in that scene. And so the Lord kind of brought me through a lonely period, and then what opened before me was an invitation from a young woman who brought me to her youth group. And then my senior year, I literally had a whole new group of friends who were praying and going to retreats and having Bible study and doing the same things I love to do with the mall and the beach and the movies. It was such a gift. And they introduced me to having a personal relationship with Jesus. So I remember being in adoration and hearing Him in the silence of my heart answer my question, like, what do you want from me? What do you want from my life? And hearing, consider being mine. So I didn't know what that meant, and I was scared of what it could mean. So I did really focus on my desire for marriage and date, and that was a beautiful experience. But into my sophomore year of college, I felt like the Lord was asking me to kind of enter into a season of singleness where I wouldn't be open to dating or seeking out relationships. So I could tell He wanted to talk to me. And so I decided if I can't have romance in my life, I'm going to go somewhere romantic at least. So I studied abroad in Italy, And through a pretty serious mishap with the program of my secular college, they didn't have housing for the women. So we stayed in a convent during our time over there. And I mean, like to the other girls, like the rage and the crying. But I just was stunned that the Lord would be so playful and would
You're like, really? Really? Where are we staying?
Meet all my fears. Because I think that's really what needed to happen. I just needed to be honest and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just say, these are my fears, Lord. I'm afraid I'm not going to be loved. I'm afraid that my life is going to be lonely, that I'm not going to experience, you know, that free, total, faithful, fruitful love that I've read about, you know, in the theology of the body. So, and I could not imagine spiritual maternity. I know that people would be like, oh, well, sisters are spiritual mothers. And I was like, wah, wah, wah. You know, like, that, like what is that? Like, a consolation prize or, you know, yeah. Door number two or, you know, I just was like, I don't know if that can be real, but yeah, through time and adoration and conversations with good friends and spiritual direction and, just living my life. I felt like the Lord was answering my fears one by one with a promise and with an invitation. And I felt like he was saying, like, would you love me with the love that you're saving for a husband? You know, would you love me with it? Would you let me be your spouse? And would you let me love you? And would you love every child, you know, as if it were your own, flesh and blood? Would you love in that way? So that just opened up a whole, you know, world beyond anything I could have ever asked or imagined or dreamt of.
Wow. Sister, this is, as you're talking, I know there's so many women out there right now that may have a vocation, but they're scared of what God's going to take from them, right? What they think it's this huge sacrifice and they're not going to have a real life. And it is a scary thing. It's the rest of their life. And I don't think people realize the decisions that they make right now, how much weight it holds and how much it matters, because it can literally direct the course of your entire life is one choice. Mm-hmm. And I look back on my life and mistakes or things that God was really prompting me to, again, going back to that promptings of the Holy Spirit, that he's really guiding us in the direction he wants us to go in. And I think our obedience to God is everything. It's huge. And it holds so much weight when we give that yes or that no.
And he's so worthy of our trust. I just think that's one thing, because I just realized I have such a misconception of God that he's like, tell me your desires so I can take them away from you. It's like, wow.
So true. You hit the nail on the head. Yes, that was perfection.
Not who he is. Like, our desires, he's placed in our hearts to guide us, you know? So my desires for love and for romance and for, you know, nurturing new life. Like, he wasn't like, tell me what those are so I can take them away from you or blot them out or like even just
and suppress
them.
You. Right. Yeah, it's not that at all.
Yeah. I want to satisfy them in a way that you may not be able to imagine or even engage right now. But trust, like that I'm worthy of trust, that I have good things for you. Like I am good and you're good. And I love you, and I have plans for your happiness and holiness. But it does take obedience, which is a surrender. Obedience comes from the Latin to hear, and so I have to put myself in a position where I can listen, you know, and hear the voice of Jesus speaking to me and inviting me and saying, "Come," you know, which often requires leaving behind something that I love, but not because I'm. But for the sake of the hundredfold, you know?
That's right. I can't imagine, because your mission that God has given you, and back then when you were in high school and just in youth group, I bet you couldn't even imagine the call that God had on your life. And there are so many people now that live in their head and those lies that the evil one tells them, like, you're not worthy. You're never going to do anything. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. Right. And that's the lie he wants to weigh you down with, because God has so much more for you, but you have to show up to your own fight and you have to want more for yourself as well. I truly believe that. And that when he's calling us not to be afraid, but maybe just really embrace that.
Yeah, because fruitfulness does require death, you know, it requires a death to myself. And I have to let go of certain things like perfection and let go of things like my plans and what I perceive to be the way I will be the holiest, you know? Like so much of this has to do with being led. And that requires a great humility. It really does, of knowing that I'm not in control. And even trying to be in control creates anxiety because it just reinforces my powerlessness, actually.
So when people do try, and of course we want control of our own lives and we want to make our own decisions, right? But then we also have to own the mistakes we make with those decisions. And every time I tried to turn my life around, and I didn't want to live that way anymore, I didn't want to end up at that party, or I didn't want to end up in that hookup, or whatever it is I was doing, I got angry with myself, like, I'm never going to do this again. No, I promise, I'm just never going to do that again. And then sure enough, that weekend there, I was doing it again. But it was when I did it with the grace of God. It's when I did it with Jesus. And really that starting point, and you've already brought this up, is confession. If you really want to turn your life around, you really want to start over, it is right there in confession. And that is where the mercy, the healing, and you start getting rid of the vices and putting the grace in its place, right, sister?
Exactly. And I think too, I've come to love that sacrament more and more, because it's like the antidote, you know, to the shame of the enemy. Like, I bring it to the light. I use my own mouth to speak this word, and then it literally like breaks the chains. Like, they can fall off because I brought them forward to the Lord Jesus, and I let myself be covered in his precious blood. And it's real. The power is real. The grace of the sacrament is real. So everything that you just said, where, yeah, I can try and like white knuckle it and like really put in my best effort to change myself, or I can ask the Holy Spirit to transform me from within. I can begin, receiving the sacraments with an understanding that I'm receiving the Son of God into my body, into my being. I'm receiving his purity. I'm receiving his strength, his kindness, whatever my struggle is, or wherever I find myself constantly, drawn back to the confessional. Jesus wants to come to that place and bring his touch, his healing, his virtue, you know, that he's living within us, you know? And so I don't have to depend on myself or feel like I'm a disappointment to him, or he's so sick of me, you know, whatever it is. It's really, I'm sick of myself, you know? Jesus isn't like, wow, I'm so done. Like, you're here again, you know? Yes. I think we can kind of put it on him that that he's like us. No, we're made in his image and likeness. He's not like that. You know, he has open arms. And that's why I love the prodigal son parable. And I love the song At the Table by Josh Garrels. Like, you know, Our Lady sings over us, come home, child, you know, especially when we don't feel like we can go to a father. But I think the Blessed Mother wants us to know we have a good father. And if we can approach her more easily, she'll take us by the hand, you know, and lead us back. Because he's good and his ways are good and perfect, and he wants us at the table. He has good things.
And I think all too often we try to find our consolations, again, going outside in the world. It's not in a liquor store. It's not in that bad relationship you keep going back to because you're lonely and you want to feel some sort of sense of being wanted, right? Or just whatever those consolations are, diving into social media on the computer, just all the things on the outside that I did try always left me empty. And it was only in that moment that it either took it away, but you always have to go back to it. And sometimes you're in a deeper, darker place by going to that thing that is really hurting you the most.
Yeah.
So if we can find that consolation in Jesus and getting that grace and just going to confession, dumping it off everywhere.
Yes.
On Saturday, today, everyone can go to confession, maybe. It may be your church is closed. God knows your heart. But if you can, go to confession. I really believe there's nothing more important that you can do in the day today if you have to go to confession or you've been away for a really long time. Just go, you know, and it's scary and it can be hard, but to go and know God's mercy and love waits for you. And sister, I also know that the Sisters of Life have come up with a new podcast that's going to start August 24th called Let Love. Can you tell our listeners about that?
That'll be the second series. The first series is available on the YouTube channel if people want to tune into it. I think it was kind of inspired prior to the pandemic, but the pandemic has really allowed it to kind of take off. Let Love has to do with our charism of giving Jesus permission, like God who is love, God who is Trinity, you know, a communion of love, letting love fill in the blank. So letting love define me, letting love call me, letting love deal with my stuff, you know, letting love, like, so just letting love versus letting, you know, the enemy or letting myself or letting others dictate all of these things that have to do with me at the core of my being. And the only one who can really speak the truth and give me the affirmation that I need, the safety that I need, the joy that I need, the freedom that I need is love, who came, who became one of us. Like, I think about the love of the Father who, seeing us, you know, lost and choosing so much less than him and turning from him, you know, he sent his son to be one of us, to live and die a human life, you know, as a divine person. It's incredible that he would allow love to conquer all of that evil, all of that pain. Like, Jesus suffered for us, with us, in us. So even when we suffer, we're not separated from the Lord. It's Jesus, like, suffering within us, renewing his mystery. Then he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. So literally, the Holy Spirit's important to our hearts. Like, I have received love. And I think something that I think is really critical to let love is to give myself permission to receive, especially as women. We're doers. We are achievers. We are performers. And busy and wanting to be as active and as seemingly, you know, engaged externally as possible. But receiving is not a passive thing. Receiving is very active. And God wants it, and it costs, because I have to kind of hand over the reins. God wants us to receive his love and receive his truth so he can speak the word that I'm desperate to hear. You know, I see you. I know you. I love you. I know that whole circumstance, or I hold your entire history. Like, it's not hidden from me. I want to speak into it.
And we can't be afraid, because sometimes it is a tough love as well. And that it's like, you know what? You shouldn't be in that relationship. And God's asking you to maybe take a break from it. And you're just like, no. And that is that tough love. But ultimately, it will be what's best for you. You know, there is that. But always just know, if you have to stop something, or there's something in your life, or a routine, or a habit, or a vice, Jesus will walk with you to get through that, or get rid of it, or put something else in its place. But he's not coming to just take from you and make you this just praying prude that has no life. You know, he wants to infuse life into you. He wants to infuse happiness and joy and this holy confidence that he's got your back, right? And I feel like people feel that nobody has their back. Nobody cares. Nobody wants them. But Jesus does. And to go back to the podcast, I know that you also in season one did a special episode on coronavirus.
Yes.
And maybe it'll just help some of you out there make sense of all of this. And I know there's a lot of people that have a lot of anxiety and fear when it comes to that. So I would recommend to also listen to that as well, because I think it'll bring you a lot of peace with just different explanations and things that they say. I'm so excited for that and for it to start up again, sister. It's really beautiful. Now, you just, they just had, I think it was 8 sisters that renewed your vows. And then you also had some novices that you brought in, right?
Yes. So
tell me about that.
Yeah, please. So we had 8 postulants enter the novitiate and become novices and receive their new religious name and their habits. So that we have pictures of that on the website to see them.
It's beautiful. Just prostrate, just taking their vows. And oh my goodness, I can't even imagine being there.
Yeah, we have our profession from our final vows live streamed. So that can also be watched following Sister Virginia Joy and Sister Naomi made final vows. And then we had 5 sisters make their first vows. So It was such a joyful and life-giving and beautiful month here at our convents, just to be able to see these sisters say yes, and to say yes in the midst of so many bizarre, strange circumstances. But I have to say, because God is sovereign and because He's good, I think each sister who took this new step this year felt like the Lord had chosen them for this year, like additional intimacy, like families couldn't come to the professions. So it's like, okay, additional intimacy with Him, like that He wow. wanted them to give their yes in a total way to Him. And I think all of us and all of the sacrifices and surrenders that this pandemic are bringing about, like if I were to turn it on its head, instead of focusing on the anxiety and letting the news kind of manipulate my emotions and my opinions, if I were to really let the Lord speak into it and say, Jesus, what do you have for me?
That's right.
Is this an opportunity for us? Like,
that's
did you want to say something? Have I maybe not had the time or the space to be as present to you as I would have liked to have been? And now I don't really have alternative, you know,
yeah,
to entertain or to distract. I almost have mm-hmm. to. So Jesus, I give you permission. I want to let you into my life in a new way. And I want a closer relationship with you. So I would recommend too, one of our sisters wrote a prayer, the Litany of Trust.
Yes, sister. I got one of those cards that you were handing out at Seek, and I have been saying it. It is beautiful. Sister, please tell my listeners about this, this Litany of Trust, because there's nothing like it.
Sister Faustina, one of our sisters, shares the story recently that of how she kind of received this prayer. She felt like the Lord was trying to indicate to her how important trust is and how pleasing it is to His heart and how it's an expression of love. And so she wrote a prayer called the Litany of Trust that is kind of a beautiful way of addressing areas where I struggle to trust. So from the belief that I have to earn your love, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear that I'm unlovable, deliver me, Jesus. From all suspicion of your words and promises, deliver me, Jesus, you know, and it goes on. From anxiety about the future, deliver me, Jesus. And then the second part of the prayer is just a proclaiming of truth. So that you won't leave me orphan, that you're present in your church. Jesus, I trust in you. That your plan's better than anything else. Jesus, I trust in you. That you give me all the strength I need for what you ask. Jesus, I trust in you. That my life is a gift. So it's this beautiful two-part prayer, simple and short, where I can daily come before Jesus and almost renew this gift of trust. And trust, as St. Faustina said in her diary, is the vessel that brings down mercy. So when I trust mm-hmm. in Jesus, like literally it just allows more mercy to come into my life.
What I can do for the listeners, sister, I think would be great is I can put it up on my Twitter after the show so that anyone that does want that prayer, they can download it, right, in a PDF form?
Yes.
That would be great. Okay. And I can put the link to your website where it is at, because they do have that up on their website, Sisters of Life. But I'll make it even easier that you can just go to my Twitter account and you can just download it right there too and direct you where you need to go. Oh, absolutely. I just know prayer is what fuels us, right, against our vices and against the attacks and just everything coming at us. And the easier we make it for people and the easier we make it for ourselves to do it, the better. To just equip people. That's what we need to do. And right now, it's women should be helping women. We should be uplifting each other and helping each other, encouraging each other. And I think a lot of women have the tendency to just go at each other or competition or just catty nonsense. And we really have to just diminish all of that and know that the real enemy is the evil one. And that my sister over there is someone that I need to love and lift up. And she's got beautiful, unbelievable gifts and talents, but they're different than mine. And we have to highlight everybody's, right?
I think it's just important to do. It is to be able to like not only notice and recognize the gifts of others and to ask, for eyes to see them, but to celebrate them and to know that like, because you're able to live your gift with greater freedom and give of yourself, like that builds up the whole body. Like I rejoice with those who rejoice, you know, and I weep with those who weep. So like we have these, I think as women, we have this opportunity to really, bring unity in a world that is so thirsty for it and really crying for it, you know, that we can be agents of that unity and nurture it, not only in our own hearts and in our families and among our friend circles, but just that spreads beyond our reach.
I really think this time that people have, sister, in their homes and on this lockdown, just coronavirus, everything happening, is we should take this time to really flip things on its head and really focus on what Jesus is asking of you, and take this time maybe to heal, maybe get a counselor online, maybe just to focus on the things that you know are wrong and to make them right and just make those crooked lines straight. So when we do come out of all of this and everyone resurfaces, we are these new creations. Behold, I make all things new. He does promise us that. And to become strong in this time instead of fearful and anxious of what's to come. No, let's become these warriors for God and to be a force to be reckoned with of what it is he wants us to deal with or accomplish or overcome or help people with, that we know Jesus has got this. He's got us, and that we can do anything with him. And I know everybody has a call in their life in a great way right now. I mean, sister, look at your testimony in itself. You are just this spiritual warrior, I feel, slaying the culture of death. And I mean, it's just beautiful, your testimony. And you have so much light to give the world in amidst so much darkness. And I feel like God calls everybody to that, but they feel like they aren't capable, or that's not how it can be for them. But it is.
Oh, thank you, Kristalina, for the way that you share so vulnerably. I've often thought that that's the reality. What you could very easily have turned inward, turned in on yourself, or believed the lies, you know, for so long and not shared. But the way that you share so freely is such an indication. I think it gives hope to everyone, like for the reality that healing is real and it's possible and it's beautiful and it's worth the work of it, if you will, of being vulnerable and exposing my heart and revisiting places with the Lord and with those who can walk with me there and accompany me there, because it sets hearts free to live a new life and to recognize the gift that they are and then to give it, because others need it and are so desirous to receive feminine love.
Absolutely, sister. Our time is up. I just want to thank you so much. This has been such a blessing to me, and I'm sure a lot of listeners out there. And if you would like to visit sistersoflife.org and find more information out about Sister Bethany Madonna or the work that the sisters are doing, you can visit their website, or you can go to womenmadenew.com. If you would like to start your own healing process, or you would like more information, also there is a booklet I wrote, Made New, for if you've had sexual abuse in your past or just abuse in general, for survivors. And it's a really small booklet too to get through. So Women Made New, and then also for all things Catholic, to go to EWTN.com, and I would highly recommend downloading their app. It is absolutely phenomenal. So thank you, sister, for being here, and God bless you and all of your work and sisters.
Thank you, Kristalina.
If you'd like to know more about my website and my ministry, you can go to womenmadenew.com or chastityproject.com. And for all things Catholic and downloading the EWTN app or the EWTN website, we definitely use the EWTN app here in the Everett home, and it is absolutely fantastic. So I would highly encourage you to get that. And then you have it everywhere on your phone. If you need mass, adoration, prayers, whatever it is, you can go to, again, EWTN.com. Thanks for joining me, everyone, and I look forward to next week.